It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, July 14th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. What might be the biggest tech IPO of 2016 so far is coming from a Japanese company and app called Line. It's a messaging service. Wherever you are, communication is king in the tech market right now. Marketplace's Jed Kim looks into the latest piece of evidence.
There are a lot of ways to send a message and sounds to go with them, whether it's a or whatever that thing is my mom uses to chat with family in Korea. Now there's Line. Aside from cute cartoon characters and emoji-like stickers, Line offers free chat, free calls, not exactly a new service.
There are dozens of them.
Roger Entner is with Recon Analytics. He says the reason Line has succeeded in a world with so many options was its early foothold in Japan.
Whoever goes into a market first has a significant advantage.
Why is Line's IPO valued at nearly $7 billion?
Well, a lot of it's the timing.
Rob Enderle analyzes technology. He says after Brexit,
people are really looking for a big pop, a large return on an investment, looking for that next Facebook, next WhatsApp, whatever.
He says if Line's IPO goes well, we'll probably see more messaging apps this year. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
From Japan to China, China has been implicated this week in a congressional report about hacking attacks on the FDIC. This happened between 2010 and 2013. Intelligence officials have said that since China and the U.S. signed a pledge last September, there have been fewer such attacks. Yes, fewer. That would be nice. The popular dystopian aphorism goes like this. If you wanted to build a system to track everybody in the world in real time, it'd probably look a lot like a massive network of cell phones. That idea echoed this week in a ruling on a case involving a stingray. Stingrays are devices that mimic a cell phone tower to help law enforcement locate phones and thus people. The case in question involved a guy in New York who the DEA was looking for. They used a stingray to find him in his apartment and then searched said apartment. But all the evidence they found was suppressed. Peter Henning is professor at Wayne State University's Law School. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So this particular case involved a suspect who was asleep in his house. Is the location key to the ruling here?
Well, certainly, yes. The defining phrase is reasonable expectation of privacy, and that's at its highest in your home. And so because the cell phone pings were picked up by the device from inside the home, that's what turns it into a Fourth Amendment issue, and in fact was the key point for the judge in suppressing the evidence.
I want to ask you about data. When a person has location data turned on for their tweets, for instance, they're sort of giving it away, which is different from what is happening here and how a stingray is being used to collect the location of someone, right?
Your phone puts out information. What the stingray does is it entices the phone to send it information. So I guess in that regard, it's a little different. On my phone, I have an iPhone, and it has Find My Phone. I'm now supplying information to Apple, no doubt, saying, here's where my phone is. Have I voluntarily done that? That's an interesting question.
Peter Henning is professor at Wayne State University's Law School. Peter, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Another day, another Pokemon Go story. Because of the popularity of the smartphone-based augmented reality game and the fact that it encourages players to get out into the real world, keeping them connected has been, well, elusive. I went out to find evidence of this, and I kid you not, it only took me 2 blocks to catch some Pokemon trainers. Refreshing. Did it crash on you at all?
Yeah, like every time it crashed.
Every time I catch a Pokemon.
I caught a Squirtle and it froze and I was so upset.
B. Wood and Jada Sultana there taking a little break from work in Midtown Manhattan. That all-important computing power from servers in the cloud is a hot commodity for Pokemon Go. We wanted to learn more about the server load and the company trying to make it all work, Niantic, so we got CNET's Lindsay Turrentine on the line. Lindsay, when we say servers, we mean computer boxes among many racks in some big server warehouse, right?
Yep, that's correct. We're talking about big computers that essentially give data to you when you ask for it. So when you do something in the game goes out and says, hey, big computer somewhere else, please send me all the information about this Pokemon. And then all the information comes back over the internet onto your phone. We don't know what those servers look like, where they live. It's probably a safe assumption that Niantic is working frantically to find local servers as close to the places people are playing as possible.
Yeah, that seems like a really hard thing to do, right? I mean, I suppose Google Maps probably does it.
Sure. And Niantic actually got spun off from Google a while ago, used to be part of Google. So ostensibly, people working at Niantic know a lot about using servers to provide the backbone of an experience on a phone.
Sure.
But Niantic also makes this game called Ingress, which is essentially the same type of game as Pokemon Go, but didn't reach these massive levels of success.
Right.
So they knew how to do this. They didn't know how to do it at such a huge scale.
There have been a lot of frustrations. Do you think it's going to get better?
I think it's going to get better. They've said on the record that they're working frantically to make the experience better. And, you know, I have to say, despite the frustrations and despite commute time ranting about how I can't even load Pokemon Go, it ruined my commute, the fact that so many people are simultaneously playing this game, which happens all remotely, is really impressive. The fact that it could take off and become this popular this quickly, to me, means that they're actually doing a really pretty good job.
Haters gonna hate, but trainers gonna train.
Exactly.
Lindsay Turrentine is the editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Ben.
More from us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.